As we just heard, Sydneysiders are bracing for a surge in COVID case numbers again today. The Defence Force, as we heard, will support New South Wales Police in patrolling the streets of lockdown Sydney.
The effort of the Australian Defence Force will help the New South Wales Police multiply their efforts out across the affected region. So I want the presence of the Australian Defence Force personnel to be a message of reassurance to those in New South Wales.
That's the Defence Minister there, Peter Dutton. We're joined now by the host of Insiders, David Spears. G'day, David.
Morning, Sally.
What do you make of this decision to get more boots on the ground in Sydney?
It's a difficult one. I mean, yes, the imperative is to keep people at home. Those who have tested positive, those who are close contacts, this has been the problem. And you can understand every measure necessary to keep people at home is going to be required. But the downside, I suppose, is that it does exacerbate the view in those communities in Western and Southwestern Sydney that it's one rule for them. They're being punished, while wealthier suburbs in the eastern suburbs and North Shore of Sydney are being treated very differently. And you can hear that sentiment. You can pick it up when you talk to people in Western Sydney at the moment. Certainly the rules are now harsher on those hotspot communities. So that's the danger, I suppose, in doing this. But as I say, you can understand why there's every effort being made to try and keep people at home.
And National Cabinet is meeting today.
Yeah, this is going to be the first glance at the Doherty Institute numbers on what sort of vaccine thresholds need to be reached. We haven't seen what the Doherty Institute has come up with, but the Grattan Institute has put out its own numbers on this, suggesting once we hit 80% vaccination and 95% amongst people over 70 will no longer need lockdowns or border closures. And at this level, it reckons hospitals would be able to cope, but you would still see about 2,000 COVID deaths a year. It's not feasible, Grattan says, to pretend there won't be any. I think then we'll have once they can set these targets, and they're going to look at Treasury modelling too to weigh the economic impact of any new thresholds, then we'll have the debate around how to achieve that sort of vaccination rate, which few countries have hit. But do you go with carrots like lotteries and so on to get people to have a jab? What about mandates for different workplaces to require people to have a jab? The UK is a really interesting example to look at the moment. They've opened up with just over 70% fully vaccinated, and they are seeing case numbers starting to fall over the last week or two. So that's giving some hope here. But we'll see where National Cabinet get to today.
It's quite complicated political ground, David. If it's not a mandatory thing and yet we need people to reach a certain number, how do we know when we've got as far as we can go? And I guess that decision of, as people keep phrasing it, letting it rip, when you know there are some people in the community who are unvaccinated, if they've had the chance, do we reach the stage where we just go? We're certainly not there yet, but I wonder what that will be like.
That's going to be a really difficult discussion. And in a lot of countries, you are seeing a plateauing. And in the United States at the moment, they're plateauing at just under 50% fully vaccinated. Lower than that, it's only just over a third in some states in particular. So what do they do? And they're having to, discuss mandates in different workplaces and amongst federal employees as well. This isn't going to be easy. I don't think there's a sentiment or an appetite in Australia at all for letting it rip. So I think, we're a long way off that happening. I think every effort will be made to get Australia's vaccination rate up there above 70%, hopefully to 80%. We have a good record, a strong record in Australia when it comes to vaccinations. So I think we're a way off that debate, but you're right, that will be difficult if we don't get to that point, close enough to the sort of thresholds they're talking about today.
Just briefly, what sort of political week has it been for the Prime Minister?
Probably a better week than the previous week, I thought, where he had to say sorry and all of that. But I think what's happening in Sydney, one of the main things he did this week, under some pressure from New South Wales, was again update the income support for those in lockdown. It is now equivalent in dollar terms, $750 a week to where JobKeeper was at its peak. There are differences and some who still would like to see JobKeeper brought back. But the fact is, JobKeeper, for all its benefits, did put a lot of money into businesses that didn't need it, and they're trying not to do that this time, and they're importantly providing income support to those on welfare payments as well. So I think all of that has helped the Prime Minister's position, but yes, as long as this lockdown drags on in Sydney, the more political pain will be felt by both the Prime Minister and Gladys Berejiklian.
David, thank you. That's David Spears there, the host of Insiders.